Okay. Did I pass out my notes to you guys? No, I didn't. I've got them all here. Good morning, world. We're a bit discombobulated, but nonetheless online. Are we ready on the left there? All right. We're ready on the right? Okay. Good morning and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. I'm Phil McMillan. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm gonna go to church with my white sports coat on, and I know there's one person in the congregation that will know why I chose to wear my white sports coat today. And as soon as I walked in, Annelle said, "You wore your white sports coat because it's the last day before Labor Day and you can't wear it anymore." Right on the money. And it's a point that always comes to my mind because my mother was a fine Southern lady, too. You don't wear white after Labor Day. So I wanted to give it one good wear. I'm neither getting married or waiting tables this morning. I'm just being sartorially perfunct, okay? All right. So... So thanks for joining us, and nothing we can do or say can be worthwhile to God unless it's done in the power of His Spirit. So let's start this morning by searching our souls, laying aside our sins, self-obsession, and guilt, and remember that Jesus Christ has done all the work for our salvation, and He has promised His Spirit. As we rely on His Spirit, we can understand His Word. And that's what we seek this morning as we bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day and for all that You give us. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the freedom which allows us to assemble together, at least for a little while yet, that we might study Your Word, that we might have fellowship together, and that we might grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We pray that the things Your Spirit teaches us this morning will do just that, grow us in knowledge and devote us in our lives to glorifying Him through the power of Your Spirit. For it's in His name that we pray, sir. Amen. Well, it's so funny, Herman mentioned this morning to me, said, yes, John Hint says like 98.8% of the time God knows exactly what He's doing. And I was getting my notes and stuff I wanted to teach this morning together, and I thought, man, I have got way too much stuff. I'm going to talk really fast this morning. Normally I'm trying to slow down because I'm afraid I haven't got enough to fill the class time. Yeah, but I'm going to talk fast this morning because I got a lot to cover. And I printed out everything, knowing thinking, oh, there's no way I'm going to cover all this, but I'm going to take all the notes with me anyway. Just before I left, I get a phone call from Herman, and Herman and Judith's granddaughter came to visit them, and shortly... and then found out that she had been exposed to someone who had a pretty bad case of COVID. And just erring on the side of caution, he decided that they had better stay home today. So I get to do two Bible classes today. And so I'm back to slowing down while I speak because I'm not sure if I have enough for two. But we're gonna do our best to study the Word of God, and we'll let the chips fall where they may as far as the time concerns go. But let me orient you here this morning. We're going to continue our study in the book of Proverbs. We've gotten through chapter 3. We touched the end of chapter 3. Yes, ma'am?
You can go fast so we can get out to the buffet before the Baptist comes.
Oh, yeah. This is true. We could beat the Baptist to the buffet line in the restaurants this week. We could have put a pot roast on and got home in time before it burned, dried up. You know, we can never trust Herman with a pot roast, I can tell you that. But so we're going to get a little orientation here where we're at in the book of Proverbs. We almost wrapped up chapter 3 last week. We touched the end of it, but there are a few things left yet to cover. And this morning we were going to do two things. First, I want to bring together a few points in review in an effort to clearly define the wisdom of God. And secondly, we want to take a look at the passages that quote Proverbs 3:34. And we are going to also this morning take a look at the idea of the fear of the Lord. Now, I gave you a list of verses on the fear of the Lord, and we see it come up here again in chapter 3 as we talk about the wisdom of God later on. And my main struggle here is to decide what part of this goes in class number 1 and what part of this goes in class number 2. And hopefully God the Holy Spirit will have a little cohesion between these two as I sort them out on the fly. Let's see. So we're going to talk about the wisdom of God in the second class, and that was the main thrust of my first class this morning. So I'm going to have to skip ahead a little in my notes, but one thing that we will cover as we talk about the wisdom of God in the next class is the fear of the Lord. Because we're told in Proverbs 1:7 that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so we want to find out what that jump-off point is for understanding the wisdom of God as defined by the fear of the Lord. And this morning, I think that's the thing that we're going to talk about the most is the fear of the Lord, and we're probably going to go back and get those interconnected verses that we had from Proverbs 3:34 with the New Testament this morning as well. So, because fear of the Lord is a big part of our understanding of what's going on with the wisdom of God and having a full understanding of the wisdom of God, I want to talk about all of the verses where the fear of the Lord is cited. That exact phrase, fear of the Lord, end quote. So you search for that phrase, and in the whole Bible, you're going to get 25 references to the fear of the Lord. And 10 of those, 15 of those, over half of them, are in the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, as we'll be looking at, is all about wisdom, right? That's the first thing it says in Proverbs 2 is, this is to teach you the wisdom of God, right? So, that's why this phrase, the fear of the Lord, is cited so many times within the book of Proverbs. And I just want to go through all these verses just briefly. We're not going to try and exegete each and every passage, but we're going to look at them. First, I want to tell you, though, fear of the Lord we have a wonderful concentration on the grace of God and our gain of that grace by simple faith in our theology as a local body that studies the Word of God together. And as a result of that, we have no fear of the Lord in that sense because we're so obsessed with the grace that God has given us that we say, oh, we don't have any fear of the Lord anymore because we're believers and we have salvation and we have the assurance, the blessed assurance of salvation. So when they say fear of the Lord, they really mean just respect God, have a respect of God. And I really think that that's a toning down of it because the word fear is the word fear. If you look at it in the Greek, it's phobia, right? Hebrew word also. It's just that basic meaning of fear. It's when you take it in the sense of respect, it's like you have respect for a rattlesnake, right? You don't go skipping around in front of it when you know it's right there. You're gonna take a step back and have fear. Let your fear give you a rational choice in dealing with that, right? And that's the sense that we have respect of God when it says fear of the Lord, right? And it's tied definitely, the idea is tied definitely to the judgment of God on sin, okay? And we have to remember that God's wrath is a real thing. And that's a fact that this world is about to get a rude awakening to, I fear, that the wrath of God is a real thing. And when you thumb your nose at God for long enough, is loving kindness it expresses itself in discipline. And what happens then is not fun for either the believer or the unbeliever. When you put yourself, when you thwart God, you deny God's word in your life, even as an unbeliever, you can thumb your nose at a part of the word of God that you've been convicted on, and you're still going to be subject to the discipline of God. You're still thumbing your nose at the justice of God, at the righteousness of God in that area of your life, and something's coming. You know, despite all of God's love and grace that He's dying to give you, you're demanding to deal with God on basis of His justice rather than on the basis of His love. When you thumb your nose at His righteousness and say you know what's going on better than God does, even as a believer, this is true. So the phrase "fear of the Lord" is definitely tied to our salvation. We come to knowledge of God, Christ's work on our behalf, because we're convicted by God the Holy Spirit to know that our sin condemns us before God. Because we have sinned, none of us are righteous enough to stand before God. None of us are righteous enough to earn God's relationship with God. To stand in the presence of the perfect righteousness of God is impossible, right? We can't get it back once we've lost it, and we lost it from go because we were born with an old sin nature, born with a propensity for unrighteousness, right? I'm not a father, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I've seen a 3-year-old with the look in his eye that he wanted to kill me before. That's the burgeoning old sin nature. That's why we're born so weak and helpless, so that we can get a little control in the soul before our bodies are big enough to execute the sin that brews in our souls even as a child, right? And our standing before God is one of condemnation. And it's that fear of the condemnation that we know we so richly deserve. God the Holy Spirit can... Okay? So, perversion in the courts is something that God looks at very seriously, because you are God's representative in the justice system that is in place in that political entity. And so he says, fear of the Lord, may the fear of the Lord be upon you, because he takes that position very seriously. And those guys that are perverting justice, they've got a reckoning coming, no doubt about it. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Be very careful for what you do. For the Lord our God will have no part in unrighteousness or partiality or the taking of a bribe. And then two verses later in 2 Chronicles 19:9, then he charged them, saying, thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and wholeheartedly. Everything that you do, we do it as unto the Lord, right? Faithfully and with all of our heart, right? And that's doubly so when you have a position appointed by God for the administration of the world, both believer and unbeliever, right, in the case of political entity. And you better be aware of God's presence in the administration of that, because the discipline that follows, it may not be just on that individual that perverted the law, but on the land that he has perverted as well, right? As goes the individuals in a nation, so goes that nation or town or family. Okay, and so when you're in a position of authority appointed by God, you better have the fear of the Lord in you, because when you pervert that basic idea in your position of leadership, it filters down and perverts and changes others, and it's going to bring about the discipline of God on the individual or the larger portion of it. So fear of the Lord here is applied not only to believers but unbelievers. And it's not only applied to the church, but any political court entity in the world, right? So they better look to God and transmit the authority given to them faithfully and wholeheartedly. thinking of God in doing so. Next, we have third on our list, Job 28:28. Now, we looked at Job 28 last week as we were talking about the wisdom of God. And sure enough, in that chapter, the whole chapter is talking about the wisdom of God, right? That's why we looked at it. And it concludes with, I believe this is the last verse, 28, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Not just the beginning of wisdom, but that is wisdom. Now, we're going to be seeking to define the wisdom of God in our second class. And preview of coming attractions, we're not going to say the wisdom of God is the fear of the Lord. We're going to acknowledge it and talk about it as the beginning of that understanding. But even though we have an equivocal statement here that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, that's why I'm doing just the fear of the Lord now, so that when we talk about the wisdom of God, we're going to get that correlation. Why could we say both of those things, the thing we're going to talk about then and the thing we're seeing here, why can they both be the answer? Okay? And this is the main reason we're going to be talking about the wisdom of God in the next class, is because I kind of did an unofficial poll and talked to a couple of people that had been to the classes over the last couple of weeks and asked them, what's the wisdom of God? And I didn't get the same answer from any of them, right? So that's why we're going to do a few points and drill down on it, because I want you to know, what is the wisdom of God? Because we're told we need to seek this. We need to know the wisdom of God. Okay, so he charged them, saying, "You shall do this in the fear of the Lord." Excuse me, to a man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Okay, depart from evil is not our works turning away from evil things that we perceive as evil. We turn away from evil. Turning away from evil is understanding. We turn away from evil by turning toward God, right? We do God's work in God's power, and it does not produce evil. It produces the fruits of the Spirit in our life. And that's how we turn away from evil. We don't turn away from evil by working to get away from evil. We turn away from evil by faithing to get toward God, right? By relying on His Spirit for the production of His work in our lives. So there's Job 28:28. Next, we see a couple of psalms where we have this idea of the fear of the Lord. Psalms 19:9: the fear of the Lord is clean, pure, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true; they are righteous altogether. Now, here we have not the application of fear of the Lord toward us. We have fear of the Lord representing the righteousness of God. Okay? And that's why we have fear of the Lord. We know that He is perfect, absolute, clean, pure righteousness. And we can never be absolute, perfect, clean righteousness were it not for the work of Christ on our behalf. Okay? The only way to get there is to understand that, hence the fear. The fear of the Lord is seen in the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteousness altogether. Okay? So the fear of the Lord, again, is pointing back to the righteousness of God. If you have the righteousness of God, you have no fear before Him. If you have not the righteousness of God, you better be shaking in your boots, because the condemnation of the lake of fire is upon you. Okay, or the condemnation of losing a relationship with God, losing out on the glorification of Christ, and losing out on divine rewards forever and ever. That's Psalms 19:9. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true; they are righteous altogether. Psalms 34:11 says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, I thought I had a really good understanding of that verse, Because when my mama said she was going to teach me the fear of the Lord, that means she was fetching the belt, okay? She was going to put the fear of the Lord in me. I had better get myself together and get straight before I got swatted one or two times. And again, you know, like I said, fear of the Lord, the concept of fear of the Lord has the idea of discipline with it, right? And indeed, we saw a verse last week that is from Proverbs chapter 3 that's quoted in Hebrews 12 we saw and looked at that was talking about just that, the discipline of the Lord. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, right? And why does He discipline us? To remind us of the fear of the Lord, to remind us of our unrighteous state before God, and the only way we're going to represent the true righteous state of God that we have through Christ's work is in the power of His Spirit. So, the judgments of come, you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I can just hear my mom saying that. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. There's the idea of that phrase, fear of the Lord, tied to righteousness. Psalms 111:10 is the next one we'll look at. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Psalms 111:10. Excuse me. His praise endures forever. We can praise Him forever because we understand that we are righteous because of His work. That He is it, that His we started with that understanding of the fear of the Lord and getting to His righteousness. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. What's His commandment? Trust me, I'm going to take care of the job for you, right? And because of the trust that we put in Him, because of that fulfilling that commandment, we have His righteousness. Therefore, we fulfill all the commandments, right? And we understand that we have a fulfillment of all the requirements of God in our simple faith, because we understand our position before His righteousness. And we will praise Him forever. Amen. So now we begin looking at all the verses in Proverbs where the fear of the Lord is mentioned. And, of course, Proverbs 1:7 was our first refrigerator verse of the study. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools are the ones who think they know better than God. Fools are the ones who have all the answers, all the understanding of good and evil, right, that they got from that tree, and they're showing God what for. They know better than God. And we're going to see God's attitude towards them in the passages that relate to Proverbs 3:34. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They were lost because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. If they had heard the conviction of God the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that God the Holy Spirit gave them, if they had loved that, it would have resulted in repentance. It would have changed their mind and chosen the fear of the Lord. Hey, I have got to get right God's righteousness somehow because of this conviction, understanding God the Holy Spirit has given me and my position before God. How can I do that? Oh, pitiful me. God has shown a way. Okay? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 2:5 is the next one. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Here we see in Proverbs 2:5, we looked at that one, you will discern the fear of the Lord. And discernment is so integral in this understanding of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God. Discernment is that cutting edge between the knowledge of God and the knowledge of man. As humans, we want to say we know it. We've got that knowledge of good and evil. And we've got to learn as believers to cut the line between this is God's viewpoint on a subject or situation, and this is the wisdom of man on the subject or situation, so that we can turn our back on the wisdom of man and look toward our relationship with God. Discernment is represented in at least two different Hebrew words, and we'll see it again and again as a concept as we go through Proverbs. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. If at any point I don't give you a good enough explanation as we go through these, you have a question or on one of these verses, I will be happy to drill down more on it and give you all the clarification that God, the Holy Spirit, will give me to give to you. Okay, so let me know if you have a question. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate, saith the Lord. the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Again, righteousness, that which is not the righteousness of God, is evil. And the fear of the Lord is to understand evil as that which is done in the power of man's flesh, no matter what the intention of it is. We hear the word evil and we want to automatically say murderers, rapists, you know, looters, you know, those horrible evil things that are going on in the world today. It's easy for us to put our finger on that and say, man, there's some evil. But in the eyes of God, those who deny His Son's work and put their own works up for righteousness to God, that's every bit as evil. There's absolute evil equivocation in the eyes of God, because both of those things are works for good, are just as unrighteous as are the evil expression of our old sin natures. So, yes, sir.
That's believers and unbelievers.
Believers and unbelievers, yes. Absolutely. For believers and unbelievers. You know, you can come to the knowledge of salvation. You can come to the understanding of Christ's work on your behalf, and then just turn right around and say, okay, now that I'm a believer, I've got the righteousness to please God on my own. And take that, you jump on that horse and ride as hard and fast as you can away from the righteousness of God. Because you think that God has done everything that He's got to do in you, and now it's on you. No, it's always, always on God. And we remain in tune to the righteousness of God, fear of the Lord, by continuing to rely on His power, just as we did in salvation in our each and every day. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil all the time. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the second or third time we've had that exact phrase in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't get to the wisdom of God without the fear of the Lord. Okay? You can't get there. Because you have to have the conviction of God's, your position before God's righteousness before you're ever going to make a faith decision for Christ, and before you're ever going to understand your position as a believer before God continues to need His power. Okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. This is, I think, one of those verses where you get the false aphorism that only the good die young. That and a Billy Joel song. Let's see. But the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. As we've noted several times in Proverbs, in the verses in Proverbs, sin kills. Believers, sin kills. That's its job. Sin destroys. And those who are mired in sin and live only for sin, and whether they think they're pleasing God or whether they think they're just pleasing themselves, they live in sin, it's going to shorten their days. All right? And I guess you know, like a drug abuser, a person that's addicted to heroin. We can easily put our finger on that and say, "Oh, drug use, evil, bad." You know, that person is evil. Well, you know, they have all the grace of God that any of us have for any of our sins. But when you have someone that is in that lifestyle and they're using intravenous drugs, they're subject to numerous diseases, aside from the threat of the drug itself killing them. They could get hepatitis easily. You know, they could have exposure. They could have a number of things that are going to shorten their days. I don't think there's a whole lot of old junkies out there. Okay, let's see. So sin destroys, sin kills, and it will shorten your days, no doubt about it. Proverbs 14:26 is our next verse. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Amen and praise God. Guys, this is the good side of it, right? We've been seeing fear of the Lord. Look out, fear, oh my gosh, fear, oh, fear. You know, that isn't the idea of it. Once you believe and know your place, once you believe and have the righteousness of God, because you've responded to the fear of the Lord. Once you've gotten there, you have absolute positive confidence, opus, in your salvation, because it's based on the work of Christ. If your salvation is based on your work in any way, you're going to fail, you're going to lose. If it's wholly on the work of Christ, you can have strong confidence. You're not doing that out of arrogance. You're doing that out of the confidence you have in the work of Christ to give you God's righteousness. And so we have strong confidence, and we have refuge. We have a place to run. We know that God has us in all circumstances. He's done the hardest thing he could do. He made we who are unrighteous righteous. That's the hardest thing that God could ever do in all of creation, is redeem us back to him. There's our refuge. No matter what the circumstances of life may be, we know that our refuge is in our salvation and our eternal security of our relationship with him through Christ forevermore. That's where we run when things are tough. If we haven't got anything else, we've got our salvation. And it can be our place of strength, our stronghold, when the world crumbles around us, knowing that no matter what, we have salvation in Christ. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. A fountain of life. Ponce de Leon. He was looking in the wrong place. He thought it was in Florida, but here it is in Proverbs. The fountain of life is in the work of Christ. He is the water of life, as he himself said. And we avoid the snares of death. There's that sin crushing you. The sin crushing you in your life as a believer, or that sin crushing you forevermore because you denied the work of Christ. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoils with it. Again, you know, refer back to the verse we just talked about, right? Two verses ago. And his children will have refuge. We have refuge, we have peace, because of our relationship with God, because of that understanding of the fear of the Lord. And better is to have nothing else with the fear of the Lord than to have all the riches of the world and all the turmoil, death, and destruction that comes with the world. Okay? It doesn't matter if you have riches if you have no salvation. It doesn't matter if you build a great, big, beautiful church if you have no relationship with God, okay? So it's better to have that fear of the Lord, that faith response to gain the righteousness of God, than great treasure and turmoil with it. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Believers, it takes humility to say, my work isn't good enough, right? Or every fiber of our being wants to say, I can make it. I can climb that mountain and be righteous before God. That's what our old sin nature teaches us, tells us from the moment we're born. And through the grace of God's convicting ministry, and we can see our position, our true position before Him, and have humility, set our works aside, and fear the Lord. And there's where the true riches, honor, and life are, in glorifying God. There's true riches. Those are the riches that are going to last forever and ever. Any rich, right, you can't take it with you. Any riches that you may gain on the earth are going to be right here when you stand before Christ. What riches are you going to have then is the question. Okay? The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life for all eternity, we could add. Proverbs 13:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Our eyes get turned by shiny things. When that sinner is flashing by in that lovely Mercedes or whatever kind of luxury vehicle you aspire to. I'm not a big car guy. If my car, my grandma always said, a poor ride's better than a proud walk. And if I got a ride, I'm happy. You know, but some of us are hung up on such things as cars and shiny things. I could go for a better backyard, but the car part doesn't get me. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. 19:23 was the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Oh, I did. I jumped one, didn't I?
You did. 13:17. Is that what you just said?
23:17. No. Yeah. Do not let your heart envy sinners.
Oh yeah, you missed several.
Oh, I jumped down the list. Okay. Let's see. Oh man. And I thought I was making such a good time. Let's see. I know I got Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with that great treasure, right? Okay. And the next one, 15:33, Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. We did that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Proverbs 16:6. That's where we're at. Ah, this is the good one too. I'm so glad you didn't let me miss it. By loving kindness, by chesed, by God's grace toward us. When we see that word chesed so many times, it's talking about God's mercy. He should have hammered us long ago. We were unrighteous before Him. He should have destroyed us right then and there. But He put it aside. He waited. He gave us grace, waiting for us to make the faith decision to come to Him. And that word is tied to the children of Israel hundreds and hundreds of times throughout the Old Testament, telling them, you've not kept my commandments, you've run astray, you worshiped other gods, you've done all these things, but according to my loving kindness, I'm begging you, repent and come back to me now. Okay, and just as He gave the Israelites a nearly unlimited amount of chances to turn away from evil and run towards Him, He does the same toward us. A nearly unlimited chance for us to, well actually it is unlimited. The chance is always there. Where does the limit come in? The hardness of our heart. We say no so many times. We do it to ourselves. We lock ourselves out of ever having the ability to respond to God's call because we said no so many times. The limits of God's grace are self-imposed. There's no limit to God's grace from His side. But by loving kindness, the truth, and truth, iniquity is atoned for. By loving kindness and truth, our sin is atoned for. The penalty is paid. That's what the word atonement is all about. To have the righteousness of God, God taught from the very beginning, something's got to die. Something's got to pay the price for this penalty of sin. And he taught it to them by killing animals and putting the skins on Adam and Eve. That was the first picture we get of that. They taught it to Cain and Abel because Cain and Abel understood they had to kill an animal. Something had to die to make them right before God. And from the very beginning, he's been telling us atonement is necessary. How are we going to find and get that atonement for our iniquity? By loving kindness, God's grace, and His truth, not our truth, right? Iniquity is atoned for. Sins are paid for once and all. By God's truth, He has to do the work. He sent His Son. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. That's our safeguard. Understanding where the righteousness comes from. It's a safeguard for us, believers. We know that if we run towards God's righteousness, if we seek the relationship with Him through the Spirit, we know the fruits of the Spirit are in our life because they're apparent around us, then we're fleeing evil. We're away from evil, okay? In our relationship with God, and there's no better place that you can be in this world or the next, but in a relationship with God. By loving kindness and truth, inequity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. There it is. Conviction leads to our understanding of our position before God, our need for faith reliance on Christ's work, and there's our life, eternal once and for all. And when it keeps us away from sin, we're untouched by evil, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil, right? You can have that blessed assurance throughout your day, knowing that God has done that work for you. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Once you get that life, you can relax. You'll be untouched by evil. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Now, that's the one I skipped down to and we got, right? So Proverbs 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Again, don't let your eye be turned by the riches of this world. Wow, that guy's a dirty, rotten scoundrel, but he sure has a nice house. I wish I had that nice house. Maybe I ought to do things more like him so I can get that nice house. No, stay the course in your. Remember your relationship with God. The fear of the Lord guides you to not worry about the rewards of a sinful life, but to worry about the rewards of eternity future in a relationship with Christ. Isaiah 11:2. So those are the end of the Proverbs verses. Like I said, the majority of the verses throughout the Bible that talk about the fear of the Lord are found in the book of Proverbs. So we might run across this concept again as we continue our study of Proverbs, and might even expound on it a little bit more. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And I'm going to not expound on that one right now because I'm going to be talking about it in the next class, okay? Preview of coming attractions, Isaiah 11, okay? But there it's a messianic passage, and it's powerful in the understanding of the wisdom of God and of the relationship of the fear of the Lord to it. Isaiah 11:3, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will, again, same passage, he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge what his eye sees, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. So, again, we'll be talking about Isaiah 11 in our next class. Isaiah 33:6, and he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure, is Christ's treasure to us. The fear of the Lord is defined as part of that treasure. Why? Because it's tied to the righteousness of God. It's understanding the righteousness of God and our position before it. That's the treasure that we're given through the fear of the Lord. And it gives us stability in our life because of the eternal salvation we have. It gives us wealth in our knowledge of salvation. God's wisdom, God's knowledge. There's wealth. There's stability in the devil's world. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all, so two passages in the New Testament that directly state fear of the Lord. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Ah, how wonderful is that? We see this idea of the fear of the Lord and knowing God, our position before the righteousness, all through those magnificent Old Testament passages where they had nothing but the promise of the coming Messiah. Nothing but, you've got to trust me that I'm going to provide you with the salvation. And that'll get you the salvation. That was the gospel of the promise. They didn't have the resources that we have. But here in Acts chapter 9, we see that idea of the fear of the Lord, and it's tied directly to the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's the next step in spiritual evolution that we get to be a part of, that we have the fear of the Lord, the understanding of His righteousness, and our relationship, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, to see and watch that righteousness grow in our lives. Okay? And that's the wonder of the church age, is that no matter how great a concept we see in the Old Testament, we always get to put the cherry on top of it because we have the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, to go with that. We have not only salvation, the understanding of our righteousness before God, we have the power to do something about it that they never had in daily life in the Old Testament. So, and it continued to increase. How far did that increase go? You got up this morning and you came to church. That's how far that increase went. From Samaria all the way to here. And to all who hear the truth of the Word of God this morning in the power of the Spirit, that's the work continuing on in the church age. Finally, 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God in a hope that we are made manifest also to you. That we, me, he means there, are made manifest also to you, Corinthians. Okay, this is Paul. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That's how important the fear of the Lord is. It's part of our witness to others. We do have a job in conviction, in a part of God, the Holy Spirit's conviction, showing, demonstrating to people that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Describing to people that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. These are the things that by which we give the gospel to others, these verses, and these verses are tied to fear of the Lord. That's the power behind our gospel message, is that we have the righteousness of God. If we don't, we should have fear. And we do. And we should fear losing that relationship and relying on His Spirit. But as far as eternity goes, we have that relationship forevermore because of the magnificent work of His Son. Well, we got through all of those verses in just perfect time. God does a good job. I might even give him that other 0.2% that John Hess denied him. Okay. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and we'll come back in about 15, 20 minutes and start another round here talking about the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your righteousness, that we can no longer live in fear, but use that fear to remind us that it's only your work that gives us righteousness. Heavenly Father, help us to run towards you in all that we do through the power of your Spirit. We pray your Spirit is evident in our lives, in your fruits, in our witness, in our fellowship together. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that all we do in our lives, in our local body, might glorify your Son, for he is deserving of all glory. It's in his name we pray, sir. Amen.